You're listening to The Tales We Tell, a podcast about spooky stories, unsolved mysteries, and local lore. I'm your host, Hannah Parch.
And I'm Katie.
Welcome back! Katie, you look different today.
I am different today. You. As I am every day.
Guys, Katie's blonde now.
Yep.
It's really cute, though.
Thanks.
Yay!
I'll share some pictures when I'm at the beach, tempting fate with the ocean.
Yeah. Keep that episode on her. You know what? Better yet, just play the episode in the car on the drive so Shelton can hear, too. Just saying. Well, we are drinking another red... Well, we're drinking the same red wine from last week, but this is another red wine... story.
Perfect.
We already talked before we started recording that we don't have any announcements. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, we're gonna jump into it. And I will not apologize because that is part of the drinking game, but I will acknowledge that this episode is similar to last week's episode, but I'm gonna do what I want. And I'm going to write about the topics I want to. So today's episode, I think you're familiar with the topic or the person of Elizabeth Bathory.
I know the name.
Okay, great. There's also a lot of Hungarian in this or Hungarian names. And I
have fun with that.
I have a lot of pronunciation guides. And part of my research was... On Mondays, I go to a bar to do research because I'm cool. And a friend was there, which is shocking because I don't have a lot of friends, but a person I knew was there and I'm friends with her. And so I was sitting there talking to her and I didn't want to be rude. And I was like, I'm not going to work. I'll talk to you. But I was like, I need to do something. I was like, oh, I know. I'll just look up all of these names I've highlighted and try to listen on my laptop speaker in a loud bar and figure out how they're all pronounced. So that's where all these came from. If you're Hungarian, I apologize for butchering your beautiful language. Okay. Elizabeth Bathory, or Erzsébet Báthory, I'm going to call her Elizabeth, was born August 7th, 1560, to parents Baron George the VI Bathory and Baroness Anna Bathory, both of whom were from noble, well-connected Hungarian families. Elizabeth grew up in a castle.
As barons are wont to do.
I feel like any noble person in the 16th century is wont to do. She grew up specifically in Etchet Castle, I believe is how we say it. I'll go ahead and say, well... I'll get to it later. Okay. I'm going to be saying allegedly a lot because there are a lot of alleged claims to this story.
Well, when you're talking about something from the 1600s, mm-hmm. you know, factual historical records are not necessarily sparse, but it's hard to verify.
Yeah.
So.
Also, as we.
Probably a lot of it was, you know. Oral stories yeah. that were then later recorded.
Yeah. Also, medically speaking, things have changed. So, allegedly, Elizabeth suffered from epileptic seizures, or seizures of some kind, as a child. This is possibly due to inbreeding, because her parents were related. Somehow.
Cousins.
You know, or... whatever. You gotta keep the blood noble.
Mm-hmm.
Alleged treatments for seizures of the time were rubbing blood from a non-epileptic person onto the afflicted's lips, or giving the afflicted a mixture of blood and a piece of skull from a non-epileptic person just as the seizure is ending. lest you think you could get away with just bloodletting them, you also need a piece of their skull.
I mean, obviously that's stupid to our, you know, 21st century brains.
Right.
But, I mean, I can kind of see the logic of it. Like, mm-hmm. they understand that, you know, blood has something to do with our mm-hmm. body and diseases and something. But, you know, trying to cure, like, okay, you're sick with, your blood is sick.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to, like, give a transfusion, basically. Like, trying to cure the sick blood with healthy blood.
I like this. Like, they understood that blood was part of the human body.
I hadn't figured out how I wanted to say it.
Yeah.
Had something to do with, you know, health-related things.
Yeah. Leaching and all of the, what is it, the humors? The good, or the... rebalancing the humors.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
The blood, or was, it was yellow bile, black bile, white bile, and blood, right?
I don't know. Gross. All of that.
I think it was like three biles and blood, or maybe there was red bile, which was blood.
You can look that up for later.
I would like to.
Okay. Elizabeth was raised Calvinist Protestant, which is not relevant at all to the story, and she was taught Latin, German, Hungarian, hopefully, and Greek. Allegedly, she gave birth out of wedlock.
Scandal.
When she was 13, which is kind of scandalous.
Yeah.
The father was a peasant boy, and the baby was given to a local woman who was trusted by the family and taken to Wallachia from our bonus episode about Vlad the Impaler.
That's what I had to say. I'm like, I know
Wallachia. Wallachia. I couldn't ever remember how to say it. So this was partly more of a scandal because when she was 13, she was already betrothed. She was engaged at the age of 10 to a guy named Count Ferenc Nadazdy. Nadazdy.
Really struggle with that one.
Ferenc Nadazdy. Sorry, Ferenc, not Ferenc. And when she was 15, he was 19, and that's when they got married, because, you know, 15 is good old marriage age.
Well, I mean, if she can birth children, that's all you really need.
She'd already allegedly birthed one. Her, I really like this, and I want to bring this back. Her social status was higher than his, so he took her last name.
Yes! Except, I mean, I would love to bring that back, but how we really, you know, measure social status?
Like, whoever's...
income, because we don't have, like, monarchy.
Most popular. Whoever has most... Which in... Well, that
so and... Sheldon absolutely should have changed his last name, not me.
I was gonna say, both in popularity and in financial standings, Jarek has me beat, so...
Alright, so Sheldon and I should have hyphenated.
Maybe.
And he could go... His name could be first.
He is very popular among...
the old ladies.
Patrons of his pharmacy.
Yes.
I hear only good things about him. Okay, so she gets married. He takes her last name. They have 4,500 guests at their wedding. And as a wedding gift...
So the entire, like, village and then some?
Yeah. Basically
everyone. Her village and his village?
Yeah, they all came out. And then as a wedding gift, I'm sure you got something similar to this for your wedding, Ferenc gave her the castle of Chieti and the Chieti country house and 17 adjacent villages.
Okay, well, I didn't get a castle, but I did get a murder cabin.
That's good.
And I got Shelton land in Scotland.
Mmm. Like actual land or one of those things where...
We own 1 square foot of land in Scotland.
That's what I was asking.
And so because we are Scottish landowners, mm-hmm. we therefore now legally hold the title of... Lord and Lady.
Mm.
So Lord Shelton and Lady Catherine. And so I saw it, you know, it was before Christmas, so that's what I got him for Christmas. I, you know, printed out the certificate and framed it and everything.
Aww.
And so I saw, like, an ad or something. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool, but I also thought it was, like, really hokey and whatever.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's a gimmicky, like, it's kind of a scam, whatever, you know, they just print out, you know, you spend $80 and you get a a fancy looking certificate.
Right.
But when I looked into it, it's actually part of a land conservation program.
Ooh.
So people buying, this, sure, 1 square foot.
Yeah.
There's lots of people, so it's lots of square feet, and it's buying up this land for the purpose of land conservation.
Nice.
To prevent development.
Assuming that all the people buying their 1 square foot are good people who aren't going to sell to the developer.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, I think it's like there's a trust or something, and so, yes, you've paid money, and you technically own that land,
mm-hmm.
but you own it with a lot of other people,
okay.
and so you don't have, like,
you can't
conservatorship
sell your
or power okay. over things.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, and also, it's like, once you buy it, like, you can't sell this 1 square foot.
I mean, if enough people agree to, I'm just saying.
Good luck finding all those people.
Fern Gully, too.
But, I don't know, that's why I ultimately did it, was I was like, okay, this is actually supporting a good cause, and we can now legally use Lord and Lady as a title, so.
Which you haven't been doing, so you should start.
I know, we need to get on that.
Get on that. So, similar to Lord Shelton and Lady Catherine, Elizabeth had now a new castle with her husband and a bunch of villages. In 1578, Ferenc became the chief commander of the Hungarian troops, and he goes off to fight against the Ottomans, as we're all doing. And Elizabeth is left in charge of their estates and their business affairs, which includes being responsible for the people in the villages. So she's kind of like a governor almost.
You know, like an average 16-year-old's after school job.
You know, normal. And she, let's see, how old was she at this point? So she was born in 1560, 1578, so she's 18. That's pretty all good. Right. She also is in charge of defending her estates and villages from Ottoman plunder. I don't really know why that was her problem and not the Hungarian troops, but whatever. There's stories that she intervened on behalf of, quote, destitute women, including a woman whose husband was captured by Ottomans and a woman who had been raped and impregnated. But that's all I know. I don't know if it was, like, financial intervention or, like, social, political, I don't know what it was. But
maybe a little bit of everything,
yeah.
Help them get back on their feet kind of a thing, and also made sure that they didn't suffer any kind of societal retribution.
I'm getting Sansa Stark vibes, like when she, spoiler alert, ends up as the Lady of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is, she's young, but she's smart, and she stands up for women because she's probably, if she had a baby when she was 13, it probably wasn't through consensual sexual relations.
But also, it's too early to call her the heroine of the story.
Mm. Well, I know how the story ends, so we'll see.
And if I remember correctly, she's not a hero.
Well, we'll find out, because this story has a twist. So around this time, rumors about Elizabeth start circulating around the area, and there are rumors about what's happening in the castle, and there's rumors about what kind of person Elizabeth is. A lot of these were fueled by other rumors about how she was brought up. People would say, oh, one of her uncles taught her about Satanism, and then an aunt taught her about sadomasochism. And when she got married and Ferenc gave her this castle, he had a torture chamber built inside the castle specifically for her.
We gotta keep those villagers in line.
And
you were hating on the woman who got raped and impregnated and calling her a hussy? No.
Mm-mm.
To the torture dungeon.
To the torture dungeon.
I will re-educate you.
This will come in handy later. They had at least 5 children. They're not really important until later on. She didn't raise any of them. She had a governess,
no, they
obviously.
Never do.
And then on January 4th of 1604, Ferenc dies. He's 48. He had an illness that had started 3 years earlier. And all we know is that it affected his legs and eventually left him permanently disabled. And before his death, he entrusted his heirs and widow to a guy named Georgi Thurzo. And I did look up Georgi, and it is Georgi. And I said it so much because he plays a big part in this. Okay, so Ference is dead. Georgi has, like, technically control of everything, but Elizabeth is still in charge.
So not like Britney.
Not like Britney. Oh, hashtag free Britney. So at around this time, after Ference dies, the rumors about Elizabeth get worse. And there are specifically rumors. There's
probably some rumors involving what was that illness that he had? Very suspicious. The
leg illness.
Never heard of that one.
His legs just were broken one day and he couldn't walk. It's
then weird. Put him in a cast. Not that kind of broken.
Did she give him gout? What?
I don't know if gout ends in paralysis. I mean, I know it causes pain.
Yeah. I don't even know if there were rumors that she killed him, but anyways, these are the rumors.
Well, he was 40-something. He was old anyway.
He was in his later years. Okay, are you ready? These are really awful, so by the way, content warning.
Grab your drink.
Grab your wine.
Or your water or soda, mm-hmm. Josh.
Or anyone else that doesn't drink. The rumors included that some of her earliest victims were girls between the ages of 10 and 14. Some of them were girls who were sent to her castle to learn etiquette. I'm assuming almost like a finishing school. Mm-hmm. Some of them were servants that she employed. And some of them were just abducted off the streets. Don't really know about that one. Some of the things that she was accused of doing: severely beating the girls, burning or mutilating their hands specifically. I also saw possibly burning or mutilating their genitals. Biting off chunks of flesh from their face or breasts. Freezing and or starving to death. Burning with hot tongs and then putting them into freezing water. Covering them in honey and then leaving them to be attacked by insects of various sorts. Jamming pins and needles under their fingernails.
Okay. Right? That's the one that gets me.
Yeah, that's sewing their lips and or tongues together. Cutting off hands, noses, and genitals. Slicing the skin between the fingers, like the webbing parts.
Like, you remember that show Jackass?
Yeah.
I don't know if this was on that or, like, the spinoff show with Steve-O, but they intentionally gave themselves paper cuts in their finger and toe webbing.
Ew.
And that just, oh, it hurts. Why? It cringes. It hurts. I don't like it. Move on.
We found Katie's cringe.
Yep.
Fingers, finger webbings, fingernails. And then finally, it wouldn't be torture rumors without cannibalism.
Hooray!
Hurrah! Specifically,
that I can stomach.
Specifically, there was a story that one of the girls was forced to cook and eat her own flesh. So, a Lutheran minister named István Magyari made a formal and informal complaint against Elizabeth. So, I guess just like publicly to people that he knew, and then also in court. And because Elizabeth has this high standing, authorities, like, kind of dragged their feet. They were like, whatever, we're not...
This is all based on rumors. Like,
yeah.
There's no hard evidence.
She's kind of the governor, so we're not gonna investigate that.
We're gonna have to go to her courthouse.
Yeah, they're like,
She presides, so...
We'll look into that for sure.
Not sure how the mechanics of this are gonna work.
So, finally, in 1610... allegedly prompted by the disappearance of local noble girls. Mm-hmm. So, like...
Because they're rich girls, now people care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, allegedly, noble families were having their daughters, like, just disappear. So, because of that, King Matthias II assigned our good old friend Georgi Thurzo to investigate the rumors. Georgi was the Palatine... Palatine?
Palatine.
Palatine, thank you. Which is just the highest ranking office and also someone who represented the monarchy. So Georgie, not one to do his own dirty work, ordered two notaries to go about collecting evidence.
He didn't get to that high office by doing any actual work,
No. And within 7 months, these two notaries had gathered 52 witness statements that supported the rumors. And by the following year, they had 300-plus witness statements. Some of the witnesses said that they had relatives who had died, like, when they had gone to stay with her. Some said that they saw bodies that I guess they knew came from her castle that showed evidence of torture, and they found them both in graveyards and in unmarked graves. Which, how are you coming across bodies in unmarked graves?
I mean,
that's someone's worst day, right? I mean, maybe not then, but surely, maybe.
I mean, you're just digging a hole to get to China, and then you come across a dead body, and it's like, man, now I gotta call the police. It's gonna be a whole big thing. It's gonna take forever to get to China.
Yeah, I just won't tell anyone, and then if someone asks me later, I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Then we gotta get on the phone to Kelly and be like, sorry, it's gonna be a delay on our visit.
Oops.
We were digging our hole, and his body just...
It's gotten away.
Now it's a crime scene, so like I could go start another hole. We had to
start a different hole, yeah.
But by the time they clear my hole,
they took my shovel. I mean, yeah. It was evidence, or I don't know. All I can think of is, and I'm so sorry for some reason, I feel like we make a lot of Monty Python references more than what might be normal. And for context, I was obsessed with Monty Python and the Holy Grail when I was in 7th grade, and I did a skit from the movie for a talent show. Anyways, all I'm thinking of is the scene where he comes across Dennis the peasant, and he's, like, packing mud. The part where he's like, "Who? I didn't vote for you."
Yeah.
And literally all he's doing is, like, taking mud from one area and packing it into another area. Yeah. And I was like, maybe that's what they were doing. And they just came across a body that showed signs of torture. Gross.
I mean, also, Elizabeth, I've been thinking about this for a minute, is clearly the role model for Madame Delphine de Lotterie.
Yes, that is true. That's another one. Okay, I'm not going to do that next week because I'll get off the like psycho women for a little bit. So there were some witnesses that said, yeah, we found some bodies. There were two court officials named Bender DeSeo and Jacob. And I'm not going to say his
name. Not even going to try that one.
Nope. And they claimed that they like firsthand witnessed her torturing and murdering servant girls. So they've got at least two. On December 30th, 1610, Georgie makes an unannounced visit to the castle, whose name I already forgot how to pronounce, and it's with the intention of arresting Elizabeth. Now, there's rumors, and this shows up in sources, like, I read a source, I think it was on the biography or history website or something, and it just had this as... this is what happened. But if you do any other kind of reading, you find out this is just what he told people happened. He said...
Yes.
It's very frustrating. He said, Georgie said that he walked in on her in the middle of torturing a girl. He's like, I caught her red-handed.
Literally.
Red-handed, covered in blood. In actuality, he walked in on her having dinner, and...
which might have been a young girl.
True.
According to some of the rumors.
She may have been multitasking, but then he wrote a letter to his wife, and he said that they searched the castle, they found one dead girl and one girl who was dying, which is a little incriminating. But not, like...
depends on what she's dying of.
This is true. I mean, it is a little fishy to find a dead person.
She has chunks of flesh bitten off of her face.
Right.
And, you know, pins under her fingernails. And, you know, maybe missing an appendage that is now on Elizabeth's dinner plate. Then, yeah, definitely a problem. But if she's got, like, cholera or tuberculosis...
She's got the typhoid. Yeah.
Then it was not as suspicious. Probably just a girl that came for her etiquette and got sick.
Got sick.
Which is very poor etiquette, if you ask me.
Because it's the 1610s. I saw a thing on Facebook today. Sorry, side note. It said, in America, it is... What is proper etiquette to ask someone if they would like you to call an ambulance if they are dying? Because ambulances are expensive.
Oh, 100%. I'm always like,
get an Uber.
If I'm in an accident, yeah, definitely take an Uber to the hospital.
If you're not bleeding everywhere, if you're like mostly conscious and you just need a ride to the hospital,
yeah,
for sure. Or a Lyft.
Or if it's like an accident, obviously police are showing up. Hey,
bum a ride off the cop.
I'll give you my statement while you drive us to the hospital. How about that?
This is free, right?
I'll buy you a donut.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry about bleeding all over your back seat. You can just take a hose to this, right?
Yeah, they're plastic back there, aren't they? I don't know. I've only been in the back of a cop car once.
I've never been in one, which probably more shocking.
That is that shocking to
you
me.
You have and I haven't.
That is very shocking. I would have guessed that you had been in one more recently than me. And mine, to be fair, I wrecked my car and the cop made me sit in the back of the car while we waited. So rude.
Yeah, no, good girls are just bad girls who don't get caught.
Sure. You're going to the dangerous ocean this weekend. I am staying in my house.
That has nothing to do with being good or bad.
Yes, it does. You're a risk taker.
Yes.
Okay, so they found a dead girl, which is suspicious, and they found someone who was dying of unknown causes. And so
it's suspicious that he didn't specify what the girl died of and what the other girl was dying of.
Yeah, this is true. But it's also suspicious that he was like, and I saw her torturing someone with my eyes.
He's already... made himself not a credible source.
Georgie is actually very sketchy. So Elizabeth and then four of her servants are arrested. They're arrested as accomplices. And I found this great book called Murderesses in German Writing.
Okay.
It's by Suzanne
That doesn't Ford. Sound dry at all.
I mean, I found it on like Google Books. And so I didn't like read the whole thing. I just read the parts about Elizabeth. So, according to Suzanne, the author, weeks before, not Suzanne's arrest, sorry, Elizabeth's arrest, on December 12th, Elizabeth's son-in-law, so remember she had five kids, so this is someone who married her daughter, his name is Count Nicholas Zwingli, wrote...
Count Nicholas
wrote to Georgie confirming their agreement to imprison Elizabeth inside the castle and distribute her land and assets amongst themselves. So,
and this is why back in the day people had, or you know, nobility had people to test their food before they ate it.
Exactly.
Because like this, conspiring against your own family.
Yeah.
Greedy sons of bitches.
So, Elizabeth's trial doesn't start until January 2nd. On January 1st, there's a letter that a local pastor wrote that references the whole situation where they're like, we've agreed to imprison her for life. Which, what are pastors doing in the 1600s? Because one guy's out there complaining about Elizabeth, and then another one's writing letters talking about the conspiracy to lock her up forever.
I mean, nope, not gonna say it.
Okay. By the time her trial started, sorry, this is my next point, her sentence had basically already been decided, and her guilt had been assumed.
Yes, because guilty until proven innocent.
Yes. So Elizabeth was, I love this phrase, quote, spared the indignity of appearing in court on her own behalf. It would, you know, she's got to keep her appearances. And Georgie is the one who's, like, presiding over everything. Instead of holding the trial at the traditional location of Pressburg, which is the official seat of the Palatine, He holds it at his own residence, where he is surrounded by people who owe him their allegiance and also their jobs.
Talk about stacking the deck.
Yeah. Also, his co-magistrates were Elizabeth's two of her sons-in-law, Nicholas, Count Nicholas, the one who wrote the letter, and another Georgie named Georgie Drugith, and then also her son's guardian, Imre Mikuri.
And so basically, not only does Georgie take her back to his home turf, mm-hmm. where, you know, he's got all of his friends and backers.
Yeah.
He's also got the other magistrates, a.k.a. like lawyers or mm-hmm. legal officiants, who are the co-conspirators in the plot to imprison her.
Yes. And all of these people, because Georgie's in charge of the estate, and then her sons-in-law are married to her daughters, mm-hmm. they all stand to profit from her demise. On January 2nd and 7th, the four servants who were arrested as accomplices were tortured. And from the torture came confessions that were totally legit.
Ugh, don't even get me started on coerced confessions.
Yay! So they, all four of them, confessed to helping bury bodies, but none of them admitted that they participated in the murders. They all implicated each other, also Elizabeth, and also another servant whose name was Anna, who had already died. And none of them could give any names of any of the victims except for two, which I didn't get those two names, but they couldn't really give specifics.
Were they also the two girls who were in the Probably. Castle who... The one dead, the one dying?
Probably. One of them was probably Anna. Like, she helped with the murders. Also, she was murdered, so...
I mean, help until you're no longer useful.
There you go. All four of them gave different accounts as to how many victims there were. So one of them said...
I mean, there were servants in the 1610s. How many of them can count?
Exactly. Although, counting and reading are different, so...
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so one of them said that there were...
How high can they count?
30, at least to 51. So one said that there were 37 victims in a span of 16 years. One said, no, there were 51 victims in 10 years. Another one said 36 victims in 5 years. And then one said 50 in 10 years. So somewhere between 36 and 51.
Between
2 and 51. 2 that we know of. And 51. And between 5 and 16 years is her criminal
So, fear. I mean, on average, slightly below 5 a year.
Yeah, which I guess... Everything I have heard... I guess the reputation that she has makes it sound like, I would assume she was doing, like, one a week. Like, 52 a year.
That's why I had to catch myself before. I was like, man, that's not that bad. Only 5 a year. I mean... But I realized how callous and horrible that would make me sound because, you know, if this actually happened, these are real human lives that we're talking about. True. And it's tragic and horrific.
This is also a podcast about horrible things.
But, I mean, yeah, like, the rumors and the way that the story is built up mm-hmm. definitely makes it sound like it's, like, an everyday thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, if you have those kinds of, I don't know, urgings or mm-hmm. whatever, it's like, unless you're just keeping one person and torturing them for, like, months on end, which is possible... But I'm thinking back of there were two of them.
Toolbox killers?
No, the toy box killer.
Oh, toy box.
Sorry, yeah. I was like, some kind of box. I can't remember if it's toys or tools.
Yep.
But he would, like...
Torture them for a long time.
Yeah, but he also just seemed like he was just kind of getting them as he could, not like, I don't know.
So, not a psychologist, but... Watch a lot of crime stuff.
Also, you are a scientist.
I am a scientist. Everybody take a drink. So, with serial killers, there's different kinds. There's opportunistic, there's spree, and I could be wrong on things. I know spree is one of them. But I think there's also, like, cooling off periods where sometimes they'll kill multiple people kind of back to back to back within a couple of days, weeks, or months.
Right.
And then they can go months or years without killing again.
Mm.
And then they might have another ramp up and another, you know, spree.
Right.
So, I mean, we're talking like an average of 5 a year, but it could be that she did kill like 30 people within a span of a year or less.
Right.
But then didn't kill anybody for a couple of years.
Right.
And I think, and then there's also some people are like, either they're plagued with the voices that tell them to kill. And so when they finally do, they're able to like satiate those voices. Or if they're doing it for pleasure, I think also they're able to just kind of relive those memories. And that satisfies them.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, the memories fade and they're just, instead of enjoying reminiscing, now they're longing to do it again. And then So, I don't know.
You do watch a lot of, like... Yeah. I feel like that was a Criminal Minds episode. You're like, let me explain the mind of a criminal. Don't sue us.
So, I'm just saying that, like...
Katie's just describing the way her brain works, okay?
Yeah, I have a criminal mind.
Exactly. No. Wait, is that not what the show Criminal Minds is about?
My criminal mind?
No, it's not just someone with a criminal mind. That's not, it's not about a guy who's a serial killer who solves murders because he's like, I know how criminals think because I have one.
No, it's the FBI's BAU, Behavioral Analysis Unit.
Okay.
Anyway.
It doesn't sound as fun.
Just kind of trying to throw out there that, yeah, from 5 to 16 years... 30 to 50 people in that time span, and then comparing to the stories and the rumors.
So there, this is jumping ahead a bit, but I will say there was one claim that she had 650 victims. So,
I mean, over 16 years, the way that the stories go,
between
more plausible
between 36 and 650.
Yeah,
so around there.
Give or take.
Give or take a few. Okay, so back to that book, Murderesses in German Writing. So the author points out a lot of similarities between Elizabeth's trial and the witch trials that happened like 80 years later.
Imagine that.
Shocking. So witnesses were asked leading questions such as, how, when, where, how many, etc. Versus...
like, objection. Leading the witness.
Exactly. Versus things like... I don't know. A good example. I didn't write a good one in here. But you get it. Leading the witness, which isn't allowed anymore. There were also instances where they were incriminating an already deceased person. So in the witch trials, a lot of times, people who were accused of witchcraft were like... I know I have to incriminate someone to get them to quit, get my thumbs out of these thumb screws.
Yeah.
And, well, that person's already dead, so they can't do anything to hurt her, so I'll just say it was her. And, honestly, if I'm dead...
Scapegoat.
Yeah, if I'm the dead person, use me as a scapegoat. Like, I don't care, I'm dead.
Depending on the crime.
I mean, I'm dead, I don't really...
My reputation has some requirements.
We have this podcast for... for... posterity.
Damn, anyone accuses me of something.
I have accused you of so many things on this podcast. I literally just called you a serial killer.
And it's not the first time.
It's not. It's true. You would be the one to do it. You already have your serial killer name, Lady Catherine. Just saying.
It sounds better than Lady Katie. It's weird.
I like Lady Katie. Okay, so the last thing is confession by torture, which we touched on a little bit. Those are not reliable. Of?
They're, I mean, you look at the court lineup, they're not looking for reliable. They're looking for believable enough to close the case.
I'm not saying it's like the Brendan Dassey situation in Making a Murderer, but I'm not saying that he's guilty. Okay, so they had 289 witnesses that they interviewed. Of those, only 31 could be considered credible. There were 229 witnesses who only, all they had to offer was hearsay. So they were like, I heard this.
So not eyewitness.
Not eyewitnesses. 29, I have no idea why these people were here. 29 knew nothing. They just brought in 29 people and they're like, tell us what you know about Elizabeth Bathory. And they're like,
hey, you live by the castle.
I never leave.
What's that bitch been up to?
No idea. All right, great. Do you swear?
Can I go back to moving my mud from this spot to that other spot?
Two people, again, don't know why these were included, were guessing at... Like, I don't know.
So were these, like, in the trial interviews, or were these pre-trial interviews? I think
they were in the trial.
God, this must have been the most excruciating trial to sit through.
Georgie was in charge. It was at his house. Okay. Four people had firsthand knowledge, so you had to sit through 200...
Was it the four servants that they arrested probably. As well?
Yeah, probably. They were like, and, okay. One witness, this is my favorite, her testimony was that she heard from a court official that they had found a list of 650 victims written and signed by Elizabeth.
In blood.
Probably in blood. However, they didn't even call the court official that she said she heard it from as a witness. They were just like... You heard that guy say that? And I honestly got this is all conjecture, but in my head, I was reading it and I was like, she was probably like sitting around waiting on things, like waiting to be called as a witness. And this court official thought she was cute and was like trying to brag to her on like everything he knew and like made up something or said something about a list of 650 names, even though he probably wasn't even there. And so in her testimony, she's like, oh, the other Georgie said that there was a... I heard that they found a list of 650 names. So no one else could back that up. There was no actual evidence, and no one else had any knowledge of it. The four servants who confessed were executed.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, as was predetermined, was found guilty and sentenced to basically house arrest. They called it life in prison. Georgie claimed that she was locked in a brick room until her death.
So arresting her and making her stay in her castle with the torture room.
Yeah. But basically, she just got to live in the castle and just not go anywhere. And all of her assets and stuff went to her sons-in-law and Georgie, I guess. So she died in 1614. She was originally buried in the Church of... Hold on, I forgot how to say the name. Chieti. She was originally buried in the church, but then there was some outcry publicly about her being buried there, so her body was moved to the family crypt. And as of right now, the location of her body is unknown. Surprise, this is an unsolved mystery. Rumors.
I mean, it seems pretty solved to me. Case closed. She guilty.
No, the mystery is where is her body?
I know.
Okay. Just making sure you understand.
I'm with it. I was just making a joke.
I'm going to tell an embarrassing story at the end of this, so everyone listen till the end. Rumors of Elizabeth's evilness continued to follow her after her death, and the most infamous rumor that ever came about was that she bathed in the blood of her victims to preserve her youth, or, as some have suggested, to try and remedy her seizures. She was like, a little bit of blood on my lips for the seizure. Whole bathtub of blood.
A little blood on the lips, all around the hips.
That's exactly what she said.
Submerge the hips.
She was one of those people that took like, a little bit of this one thing is good for you. A lot of it must be really good for you then. That rumor has no validity, though, so...
I think there's a pretty common, like, a sketch or an etching of her in the bathtub going, like, tra-la-la, but...
Yeah, it's famous. Mm-hmm. I know. That rumor didn't come up until after her death, and it didn't appear in print until 1729, which is a good time after her death.
It's 125
years. 115
years. 15, sorry.
Yeah. For some reason, historians have largely considered her guilty. And, okay, so here's what I read. Okay, well, sorry.
Make up your mind.
Okay, so back in the 1600s, mistreating your servants wasn't necessarily uncommon. It wasn't illegal. The thing that Elizabeth got in trouble for is the accusations that there were noble women who were being tortured.
That's why I said they didn't care until it was the rich girls.
Yeah, so she very well could have been torturing and executing her own servants, and that wouldn't have been something that would have, like, torn down her reputation. She wasn't given a fair trial, so, you know, we'll never know. Suzanne Cord says, is it more likely, this is paraphrase, is it more likely that Elizabeth, the, like, governor of 17 Hungarian villages, this, you know, not countess, baroness? Whatever.
Basically, men were threatened by a woman in power.
Yes. So, is it more likely that she tortured and murdered between 36 and 650 girls between 5 and 16 years, and no one said or did anything about it until Georgie started asking questions, and then all of a sudden 300 people were like, yeah, let me tell you my stories? Or is it more likely that the man put in charge of Elizabeth's inheritance and estate, along with the men who married into her very wealthy family, set out to ruin her reputation and take her wealth and or power?
I mean, I think both possibilities are equally,
yeah,
you know, plausible.
I will say that there was a letter that another priest wrote. Priests be writing letters. That detailed, quote, excessive cruelty shown by Elizabeth and Ference towards their servants. So, I don't know. I think you're right where it's like, she probably wasn't the nicest person. She probably did mistreat her servants.
Oh, yeah.
Did she have a torture chamber? Depends on your definition of a torture chamber. Did she have a dungeon that maybe had torture devices in it? Maybe. Was that super uncommon? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I said that both options, you know, I definitely believe that she was probably very cruel to her servants.
Right.
I don't know to what extent, but right. I'm sure she was physically abusive.
Right.
And so, I mean, that could have been just kind of the catalyst to, you know, the fuel to the fire of the rumors. Or kind of like that's what gave Georgie and her sons-in-law, you know, like, they're like, this is how we
it's
do
like
it.
Like, they found
this
a thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is how we get the goods.
Right.
I think it's entirely possible that she was framed. I also think it's entirely possible that she was a psychotic, murdering fiend.
Yeah. I was surprised when I started the research on that because I wasn't expecting to come out on the side of Elizabeth. But by the end of it, I was like, man, they really did kind of do her dirty. She might have been a horrible person, but but that's the thing, is that because she didn't get a fair trial.
Guilty or not, she didn't get a fair trial.
Yeah, because she never got a fair trial, we will never know. So that is the ending. It is an unsolved mystery, so there. I stuck with the theme.
Well, let us know what y'all think.
Yeah.
Like, were you familiar or, you know, even vaguely familiar with this story, even if it's just the rumor of her bathing in blood?
Did I pronounce any Hungarian names correctly? At least Georgie.
And, yeah, after listening, what side are you on?
What side are you on?
Is she guilty? Is it just, you know, a seed of truth that grew into an ugly rumor? Or what?
I don't know.
Embarrassing story time!
All right. I actually have two.
Yes!
I just remembered the other one.
Double feature.
The first one's more of like a you kind of had to, well, both of them you kind of have to see, but I'm going to describe them. The first one is, as some of you may know, because I don't know if I've humble bragged on the podcast, but I started taking aerial fitness classes about a month ago, and the only one I'm doing is Lyra, which is just a giant hoop that you, like, make shapes in with your body. It's very hard for me, who has no upper body strength. Anyways, they have open gym sometimes, and I went and was trying to be really good and, like, diligent and practicing, and I was with my friend, and I tried to do a move that I really thought was easy and that I could, I mean, relatively easy and thought I could nail, and I fell out of the Lyra. I think I'm the only person who's done that, so at least in that class. Anyways.
Doubt it. I doubt it.
There's a teenager in the class with us who's built like a gazelle, so she's very graceful.
So it doesn't mean she's not going to try something that's above her skill level one day, and she's going to fall out the hoop too.
Oh, man. Okay. That was the mildly embarrassing one. This is everyone's reward for listening to the end. All right. So I was at work the other day, and an older lady patient came in, and she needed a refill, which is part of my job. And for some reason, she wanted to stay and wait for me to do it. And so I, you know, did it on my computer. And then I turned, because she was kind of behind me and, like, I don't know, 20 feet away, 30 feet away. And I turned and I was like, okay, it's done. I sent it in. Your pharmacy should be calling you. And this lady, from my seat, she held her hand out in what I interpreted
as a high five.
As a high five. And I got up from my desk and walked over to her, and I gave her a high five. And then she takes her outstretched hand and she moves it a little closer to her ear, and she said, "I didn't hear what you said." And so I just said, "Oh, your pharmacy will be calling you shortly. I gotta go."
High five.
I left. I mean, I didn't leave work. I went and hid in one of the exam rooms, and I was really embarrassed. And I have this theory that if I tell that story enough times, it'll become less embarrassing, but so far it hasn't worked. And that's the story of how I high-fived an elderly patient with no prompting.
Well, now she has a funny story to tell all of her friends.
Yep. Now
she can tell on her podcast.
I can never go back to work. So.
Her podcast. Why do young people keep high-fiving me?
She needs to work on her gestures, man. It was not one of these where it was out, and I don't know if she's trying to reach to me to be like, I realize no one can see this, but like, I can't hear you. Anyways,
by the way, the gesture she was attempting to make was a hand, you know, flat hand, palm out by her ear as if to cup the sound so that she could hear better.
Yes, but the gesture she actually made was more of a high five. So,
at least it wasn't a high five.
That would have been weird. Although, I
would have been like, that old lady's a Nazi.
I would have called her pharmacy. So, if anyone's having a bad week, just remember I fell out of a hoop, and I also high-fived a lady who was just trying to get her medication refilled. If you're kind, please go onto our Instagram, which is what?
The Tales We Tell Podcast.
Thank you. I'm going to post pictures from this episode. Go on there, look at the pictures, like the pictures, and then comment and tell me something embarrassing that happened to you so I don't feel as bad. Yeah. What are our other socials, Katie?
That's pretty much it. No, we're also on Facebook, Tales We Tell Podcast.
I was like, okay, I guess we're done.
For those of you who don't do the social media, we have a website. It's thetaleswetellpodcast.com, and all of the pictures and other tidbits that we post on our Instagram and Facebook are also available on that website. So you can still see all the fun pictures and goodies without having to, you know, sign your life away to social media.
Yes.
We also have a Patreon, so patreon.com the Tales We Tell podcast. We love all of our patrons so much. And we also love all of our regular listeners, too.
We love everyone.
Yeah. Y'all are the best. And also, if you need some sweet, sweet merch.
Yeah, there we go.
Like the awesome shirt that Hannah's wearing.
Which is actually not for sale. Quite like the shirt. The main one.
You can go to redbubble.com and search the Tales We Tell podcast.
Yep.
We got our couple of logos, and you can get that shit on everything.
You sure can. You can get it on stickers and water bottles and...
mugs and notebooks. I have a pillow.
That is impressive. My mother-in-law has a mug, and she uses it. I'm very impressed with.
I ordered my dad a shirt.
Nice. I also forgot when my family did new family pictures. We did some updated like professional family pictures, which turned out beautiful. I completely forgot. My mother was like, "Oh, at the end of the photo shoot, we can all wear our Tales We Tell shirts and do like a special one." I completely forgot. So we were like walking around, and I was like, "What is in your bag that you have?" She's like, "It's the Tales We Tell shirts," and I was like, "Oh." I was like, I forgot to bring mine.
Would have been ironic you being the only one without one.
I know. And I was like, I'm wearing a dress. I'd have to do a whole outfit change with, like, jeans and a new bra. And anyways, it was very thoughtful of my mom, though. All right. You guys have a great week. I hope everyone has had a safe holiday weekend. If you are in the States celebrating 4th of July or other things, don't do fireworks, everyone. I'm just going to go ahead and say that wherever you are.
Yeah. I mean,
kill the firework industry.
By my house, Shelton and I play a game every night of fireworks or gunshots because
I play that game too.
We live in a nice area, but it's immediately adjacent to a not so nice area.
Yeah.
And Jory hates both fireworks and gunshots.
Be weird if you liked one and not the other. Like, Jory is terrified of fireworks. Gunshots, he's okay with.
He's an equal opportunity noise hater.
Yep. Lots of things don't like loud noises.
Don't do fireworks. They terrify dogs. If you do fireworks, don't blow your hand off.
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Love you. Bye.
See you guys next week.
Bye.